In a sense, it was surprising. I mean, I think the first thing to note is that these talks were focused on largely humanitarian and economic issues. So they were focused on the sorts of issues that the two sides could easily discuss. The North Koreans had made it very clear that they would not allow any discussion of their nuclear program. So really, from the perspective of an outside observer, the topics that were agreed to be discussed were, you know, pretty, they certainly weren't the harder core security issues and problems. So in that sense, it's a surprise that these talks were broken down, but it looks as if the North Koreans have identified a procedural issue in a sense to assert their own authority within the process.
Yes, we're getting a very scant detail on exactly why they were called off, but some suggestion that perhaps South Korea was insisting on leading the talks, the North obviously objecting to that, so it looks like it's a bit of a power tussle at this stage anyway. Is that at all surprising?
No, not at all. I think the North, on a number of occasions, certainly throughout this year and frankly, really since the late 1940s and certainly since the armistice negotiations, during the Korean War, have sought to assert their authority in a variety of ways. And, you know, I think to assert it at a kind of procedural level rather than identifying, you know, a substantive issue that's holding up the talks perhaps suits the North strategy better. And, you know, at the end of the day, for North Korea, what it wants to avoid are those very difficult issues that basically, to pin down North Korea on its nuclear program. You know, it's tough rhetoric from earlier this year. So from their point of view, I think to sort of say that, okay, yeah, we're interested in talks, but we're only interested really in talking on our terms. And I think that's very much part of Pyongyang's strategy during this process.
How important do you think it is for South Korea to really tread delicately here to ensure that at least some form of conversation happens with the North?
Look, I think it is and it isn't. I think the current president, Park Ik-won, has had a pretty good approach in terms of having a velvet glove approach, but also an iron fist inside that velvet glove. And you know, she has gone to significant lengths in rhetorical terms to say to the North, look, we're here, we're open to talks, but we also expect you to basically not destabilize security on the Korean Peninsula. And I think unlike her predecessor Lee Myung-bak, who took a very hardline approach in the end towards the end of his presidency, President Park, the current president, has really in a sense opened the door to talks with the North. And I think that actually places the North in a harder position in a way, because the onus is on them to justify why they aren't engaging the South in a direct dialogue.
How do you see this playing out? Do you think the North will eventually come to the table after it's asserted itself once again?
I think it's very important to understand that North Korea, Pyongyang, the regime in Pyongyang, isn't interested in direct talks with South Korea. In terms of solving or even partly addressing its security situation on the Korean Peninsula. Its primary interest is in direct talks with the United States. The Obama administration has made it clear that it will not engage the North in direct talks unless the North puts its nuclear program on the table. So, in a sense, the North has little choice but to engage the South, particularly if it wants to open up an economic relationship with the South. And from the North's perspective, an economic relationship with the South essentially means the South Korean government giving cash and in-kind contributions to prop up the regime in the North. One of the interesting things in all this, I think, is the North's decision earlier this year to close down the Kaesong industrial complex that was benefiting the North Korean regime and also the North Korean people economically. And that was a very difficult decision to fathom. But I think it can only be fathomed if we look at North Korea's view of the South as essentially a kind of handmaiden of the United States. And in a sense, its decision to unilaterally close Kaesong was an expression of North Korea's its intention to kind of control the process of dialogue, control the process of cooperation with the South Korea, with South Korea, even if it means blighting its own interests in some circumstances.